Everybody seemed to be real happy this morning. Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's good to look out and see people coming to church. A lot of people, they don't come to church enough to know what church is about. I watch even some of them here at Little Bethlehem, and they come one day and might not come back for a week, 2 weeks. And I see men in the men's meeting, they do the same thing. And really, their lives don't amount to anything because they're not Christ-like, and they really don't have God. They're very religious, and they are believers, but they really don't have Christ. I know someone would dispute that because there's always a dispute, continual warfare between the body and the spirit, but nevertheless, it's true. The Bible said Christ Jesus, his custom was to be in the sanctuary of the synagogue every Sabbath day, and they don't do that. And then it was with the early church, it was called Christians, and they broke bread from house to house with singleness of heart, continually worshiping. And even the Lord said, when I make up my jewels, I'll remember you that spake often of me when I write a book of remembered. So Christians are somebody that likes to think on spiritual things, talk about spiritual things, be in spiritual places, and be with spiritual people. And as Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, seeing that God is a spirit. Let's sing a little chorus, man.
There are days of inspiration when I could scale the mountain so high. And there are days of great temptation when I sit alone and cry. But the rose of Sharon shall blossom, and the willows will never more weep. And they who have laid down in sorrow shall away no longer to sleep. Sing that chorus with me. For the rose shall blossom, and the willow shall never more weep. And they have laid down in sorrow shall away no longer sleep.
Well, just singing a new song we wrote, a little verse in the course of it. You can be seated. Real hoarse this morning. It's real difficult to sing. Sometimes being on the floor, especially in the winter time, makes it real difficult, and preaching and hollering all the time anyway. My little brother was just telling me that Jason is here. Let's give the Lord a hand. You know, when he had his wreck, and it said something about him dying. I think maybe the other boy was killed in the wreck. And we all got together and prayed and believed God. And I could tell that you really believed God. And I felt like that done it. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to believe God's going to heal that boy and bring him out, spare his life. I said, them people touch God. And I said, and that's the way I believe it's going to be. Let's give him another hand. I think that's wonderful. That was a quick recovery for those kind of things. Somebody say hallelujah. Please, God. And God was also good to some others, that there were some severe cases and whatever. But he was real good to them. He kept them from death and healed them too. And that's the way it is when you believe God, and when a church comes together to believe God. It hasn't been that far back when his little sister was in real bad shape and it looked like that she would die or be in bad shape from the wreck. But you prayed, and today everything's well with her too. Now we have people to come here and people that we contact here and around the world that have all kind of problems, and God heals them and makes them well. And it's so wonderful. You see people delivered from dope and delivered from whiskey, and people delivered from insane asylums, institutions, and the world of worldliness and all kind of things, all because you love the Lord and because you pray. And we're always getting new translations and different things from around the world, and letters where the mail goes out and the gospel goes out because of your efforts. As a matter of fact, it was yesterday, I believe, that Betty was showing me a tract that over in Bangladesh, I'd been wanting to get into Bangladesh, which we had gotten in there with a little tour, but they'd asked us to come in for a crusade a long time ago. And even offer to pay our way if we'd come in there and minister to them. And I didn't. And I sent David to set up a meeting over there. And something happened as to a disappointment. He didn't get in there to set it up. And I still had it on my mind. Some great devastations hit the place. Many people were dead, like over in India. See, out of the people, about 30,000 people in India, it was around Bombay, I think. I'm not sure, but anyway, all across India, the gospel has gone through your publications, and we get such a tremendous report from so many people of the gospel, and I don't know how many of them that you reached that was killed in the earthquake. But anyway, I'm sure there was some of them that you reached for God that's in glory and paradise today because you reached them. And maybe a lot of them that we didn't reach, that we should have reached if we'd have been a little more diligent. This translation came in from Bangladesh, and this man was telling us how that he had gotten a hold of some of our literature, wanted root just a few days back, and he was so carried away with the literature, the words of expression was just overwhelming. And this man said he had gotten some of it, and he had prayed over it and reprinted it. He had done the printing himself and sent us a copy of the literature, and said the people were just, I don't think he used the terms grabbing it, but just taking it just as fast as they could get it, really making a fuss over it. And then another one came as to a publication of one of the tracts that another country there, they'd published it in their paper. And always we're getting these real wonderful, gratifying things. You know, the Bible said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathens for an inheritance. Well, maybe you've never done that before, and maybe you have. But I've asked of the Lord many times, praying and sometimes crying. And I've said, Lord, please give me the inheritance of the heathens. Please give me the heathens for my inheritance. Because everyone that you win to God is a jewel. See, here we are so natural-minded that our enthusiasm is over a diamond or a ruby or a pearl, stones or whatever they might be. And to us, that's just great wealth. And when you talk about jewels, as to the kind of jewels I'm speaking of, people shrug their shoulders, you know, and think, it ain't nothing to that. But see, that shows they're perverted. Because the one that made the diamonds and the jewels and the rubies, which is nothing but stone. See, the gold and the silver, which is nothing but metal. And all of your money, which is nothing but paper. See, and all these kind of things, the one that actually made that or allowed that to come, that was God. And he only made those things as a symbol, a type, a shadow. It's referred to in the scriptures as an allegory, an allegoric thing. See, it's like a parable. It's a parabolic approach of the reality of things. And this world is just a parabolic approach of reality. Your learning institutions is just a parabolic approach of real knowledge and understanding. And the people that are in this world that are not born again, that don't know God, is only a parabolic approach of the real people that shall live forever. They're just like shadows. And all of the glory and the glitter and the glamour and of all this world, all these things of the great elite, the upper echelon, the ecclesia, see, is only symbolic. All the joy and jubilance this world is only symbolic. It's not real at all. It's not the real thing at all. See, and Satan is the prince of this world, and he's the god of this world. It was given to Adam, and Satan took it from Adam. And in taking it from Adam, he is the prince of this world. But the Lord Jesus and the second man Adam is what was intended as Christ in Adam as to what Adam should have been. That is the prince of life. You seek life, you get the world and all that's in it, this world and the world to come. And you seek the world, and you don't get anything, not even life. You just die as a beast. You're just a molecular structure, and that's all you are of a cosmic quickening. And it's really pitiful. It's really pitiful. When you come to know your sonship and come to know God, as the Bible said, those in the last days shall do great exploit, then you look back and you see all the great dignitaries and the learned people, the diplomacies and all these kind of things, and you realize they're just a bunch of little old children that don't know nothing. And that's why Jesus cried. He said, like sheep without a shepherd. And when he come to him, he said, children, do you have any meat? See, and he knew there was children. Whereas in the world, great diplomacies, this kind of thing, men of learning like Einstein and others, they look on us as little children. But see, and that's true as to the world and comparatively speaking as to them and their great learning. But they, to the children of God, are but just little old bitty babies that's still in their diapers. And you feel real sorry for them. And then besides that, they are animals. They are animals, just a molecular structure, and are just animals. And all they are is just a cosmic quickening. So you feel even the more sorry for them. And their soul goes down. The Bible said, you know, you have to have a soul. Man has to have a soul just like the beast out there, because really that's all he is. And so that God breathed in the man's nostrils and he became a living soul, and his life is in his nostrils. Just the breath of life is all it is. It's not like when Jesus breathed on him when he was resurrected and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That was the eternal spirit of Christ going into the human being. And some are made as to all of them look like worms. God said, Jacob, I will help thee, thy worm. As to the fallen, they're on their belly. All of their labor is for their belly and their mouth because it craves it of them. And they're carried away with the jubilance of the world. And so then, when it comes to these people, they all look alike, but worms aren't alike. Some are different worms. Some are made to be like a cocoon, like a mold. And there's a different kind of life that's in that little worm as to what it is in the other worm. And though they're all made in the worm form in this world, as to the fallen, to the serpent, because of the fall of Adam, when he lost the Shekinah illumination, he fell to the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But see, there's some worms that the time comes and the cocoon breaks. And out of that comes, as through the act of metamorphosis, a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. And there's a little something in there that's been nourished by the worm, like that as to the placentum, the osmosis of the mother. See, and it has been nourished, and in all reality, it isn't part of the worm, because like there's not a drop of a mother's blood in her baby, and that it is fed through the placenta, so that it won't be God making it to be like that because of his way of life and his plan to bring forth not a human being, but a God, and to use a human being for the cocoon or the little mole. Well, anyway, I want to refer back here to Genesis again. We went the other day over to John, where it said, in the beginning was the Word. Now we're back over here, Genesis again. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now, I know, you know, in the morning, I don't have time to talk with you. And yet you try to be as congenial as you know how. It's just human characteristics and routine of life, in that we programmed our mind to these things, that we get in such a rut that we really don't have time for God, to be honest with you. And it's real striking and real shocking because, as I say so often, we're deceived so easy because the world, and even you, as to your natural part, which is your bodily structure, the molecular part, see, even you have time, your children, and you go along with all this, as I say, for schooling every day, hours and hours, and college and riding and eating and drinking and buying and selling, and every day, many hours of work with a regularity. It's a routine. See, for you to buy and eat and sell and all these kind of things, because that's your world. You are in bondage to the world. See, you are in bondage to the world. You are a bond child in your first birth. The spirit of foolishness is in your heart. And because of this, once you come to no good and you don't do it, it becomes exceedingly wicked. And the Bible says concerning your heart that it is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And God, even after the flood, he looked down and he saw still, after all that he had done, that man's heart was desperately wicked and that his thoughts were continually evil. There was never a time when he looked down, even Noah and all them that he brought over to Noah's family. There's never a time, but when he looked down, it was a continual thing. Their thoughts were continually evil. Today, their thoughts of all humanity, church folks, all kind of people, it don't matter, believers, whatever, their thoughts are still continually evil all the time. They don't think good things. They just think evil things. No matter what comes, it's always evil things, evil things. It's the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and it's human passions and all of the degraded side of life. And all flesh has corrupted its way before God. And God hath laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. And it was he that was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. And he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. So then we know that in his righteousness is our salvation. So this means that we are caught in a circumstantial environment in life that really creates a problem for us. Always, it's nothing but evil and lust and covetousness and natural things. So we are, by first birth, like the worm. We are a natural born bonds child. For the Bible said the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. That is, God has subjected your body as to the cocoon part to that as to instruments of life, or you become instrumental as to human survival, and you're placed upon your belly, and you're dependent upon the natural sources, the tangible matters of life, as to substance. And that's the way you survive. Your survival is out of your senses, five human senses. And you are fastened to the world. 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. And then the ears of hearing and feeling, touch, taste, smell. See, and this is your life. And as I said, one of them goes out and you're partly dead. And another goes out, you're partly dead. Your eyes go out. See, and your world is going. And eventually, finally, the spirit departs from the body. The human senses won't function anymore. And that little old molecular structure, and that's all there is to it. But see, beyond that, there's something else. And that is a spirit, an angelic being that's in that little cocoon or in that body. And this angelic being on the inside is you. That's you. You, out of that little cocoon, out of the breath of life, there's been an instigation. And through this act of God, as to a breath of life and the nourishing of the quickening of this cosmic energy that issues forth from the sun as little packets of light, you are recipients, as I said, through the hypothalamus and down through the quickening as to the vibrance and vibrations of all of these things as disturbance of atomic particles of which you're composed. And see, down in there, you are getting this quickening. And this thing is issuing forth from your heart. Though it comes down through the hypothalamus and through the breath of life and goes into you, as I said, with the bloodstream, as to the bloodstream having little platelets and cells and having something in there as a little cellular work that hath an affinity for oxygen. And so then when it runs around through the capillaries of the lung, it picks up this oxygen through the breath of life. And when it takes this oxygen, then it turns red. And when it turns red, then it runs down through the blood vessels, through the metabolism of the body. And then when it runs down through there, as to the metabolism, then once it goes down through there, it goes to every little cellular part. And it administrates and it gives forth and it dispenses this oxygen through this operation. Like we say, as to a human chemistry or a human physics. It comes down through there, through the world of chemistry, and it comes down through there, and when it administers to the little cells, then the little cells as to the quickenings of the protons and neutrons of these things that are sparked up by this and inspired by this, quicken, that's our life, that's in energy, that's strength, that causes the reaction of the muscles and of the leaders and all these kind of things. And then once it empties out its oxygen, as you know, it picks up the ashes that's been burned from the energy, takes it on around and starts back. Then when we get as to vessels and veins, then one, all of a sudden the redness will leave and then the blueness will come. I say this again, it's like a blue baby. A blue baby, you have to give a blood transfusion. You have to do something real quick because when it's blue, it means it doesn't have any oxygen. So then once it dispenses its oxygen as to the blood flow, it comes around and it starts back. Well, then it's blue. And all the colors of the lungs and whatever are so spectacular as you look at these things because of what God has done. But when it comes back, then it goes back to the heart. When it goes back to the heart, that heart is a pump. They say it's the greatest pump that's ever been made, that man can't make nothing like it. Someone would question that and say, well, I don't know about that as the genius of man today. But when you consider it, you do know that Methuselah was pumped for about 900 years, day and night, 24 hours around the clock, and could have kept on pumping. Because when the millennium comes, it's going to pump for 1,000 years. And as quick as it shows that God did not instigate death, that death came by man, that God, man can live a God day and that death is conquered by man, then all of a sudden it will transformate as into this great celestial world. Great celestial world. See, and when I say these things, I'm trying to project something because I try in my little old few minutes as we have up here to try to tutor you and teach you something that I understand from God as a teacher and a preacher. So when I go out into the world, I preach to them and I try to pray for the sick and these kind of things. But I'm here with you all the time as a shepherd to watch over you and pray for you day and night. And I'm here all the time to try to correct, to explain, or to tell you what I understand if you come and ask as to what God has allowed me to. But I try to bring it in a level to where, on a level to where you can understand it, like we say one part, two parts, three parts. You know, or I illustrate and I'll say, we'll take number one. And I illustrate. And somehow, through your intellectual, you are acquainted with these things as to a worldly indoctrination. And because of that, you can comprehend better what I'm saying. So God, who is a spirit, always has to convey himself to you through a projection of intellectual ego, and intellectual indoctrination, and intellectual understanding, which is altogether vanity. It's altogether vanity. It's nothing but a shell of darkness, as the old tree of knowledge, but God being light, and you can't see light unless it is revealed by darkness. Scientists say you can't even define it, you can't see it. See, so they can't get out there into the world of light like you and I can. Like Israel, they showed that. They could not steadfast look unto the end of that which was abolished, which was the light that was behind the veil, because it was veil. And Jesus coming, showing that veil, Paul said, in their tutoring, that the veil, which was the veil from the tree of knowledge, the darkness, the misconcept of God, the evil, the thing that they'd done wrong there, see, it fell over their minds, and the illumination of that bright light of understanding, the tree of life, it went away and left Adam, and Adam was back to the dust because all he was an animal illuminated. But that illumination was the Son of God, a figure of him to come. Whereas I say again, today it has come as to Christ, and the restoration is Christ within you as to the illumination, and this mind of Christ is breaking forth from the inside into your very blood genetics to come into your brain cells and to administer to you that you might be alive from the dead to yield your members as instruments of them that are resurrected and alive from the dead, and no more as to the motions of sin working within you as to that of the first birth of the creature or the beast, which is the bond child. You are the free child as to that by birth, the inner man. Well, we have to condense these things so much and retrace our footsteps to try to get back to things that we've said before, and it makes it an impossibility to be able to really get to you. But we do break it down, and we try. Now, like this morning, if it was that I was going into this particular phase of it as to the 1, 2, 3, the ABC, then I would just take one level of it as to the water world, and we would tutor on it. And then that would take us hours and days and weeks. And then I'd take another as to the blood world, and I would tutor on it, and that would do the same thing as to the time. Then I'd take another that would be the spiritual side of it, and I would teach on it. See, and like I say, there's three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit, and these agree in one. Now, when these words are said that there are three that bear witness in the earth, there is a significance. There is a meaning for that. It isn't just a talk, etc., whatever. There is a reason for those things. There are things that have to be said about that. So then when we go into them, we say we go into it would be like an archaeologist or archaeological thing as to a mass. Or we say, we'll take the earth, for instance, we'll say. And we'll look at it, and we'll consider it. And we'll consider the world of vegetation. And we know that the lifeline of the world of vegetation is water. So we know that's a world. Then, and it's obvious it is, because Peter said, when the old world passed away by water. And the detriment of the world, the purging of the world, is by water. And that lifeline being water, everything is done to that world by water. If there's no water to the earth, then that means the earth will just break open. All of your earthquakes and all these kind of things. And that's why that in the last days, revelationally speaking, that's why that all of the earthquakes are coming. If you just, as a geologist or a geographic view of things, and you look, you know, like we say, we study geography, and we take the geographic view and go over the world and look and see the problems right now as pertaining to the earthquakes. See, scientists can't understand it. Science, knowledge, falsely so-called. They can't understand that. They can't understand what's going on. They can basically, principally tell, but as to the real root of the matter, they don't understand that at all. And the reason is because it's not given unto them to know the mysteries. But to you and I it is given. For the Bible said, you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. Ye have the minds of Christ that knows all things. And whatever my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you, which was all things. Now, so we grow in the grace and knowledge transformed in mind as to the full measure of the full stature of these things that Christ Jesus has given us. But as we say, water, blood, and spirit. We know then that blood is the lifeline of all human physics, or the world of human chemistry. As to the chemistry of the body, we say, when you say chemistry, you're talking about chemicals. You know, as to the chemistry of the body. So then we know that because of that, it is a world of its own. And it's nothing but animal. They've traced it back to prove that it's nothing but beast. And even the blood genes, it's this DNA thing. Now, they're finding out that they can take the blood genes, and they're compatible, and that they can take these blood genes, and they can take the blood genes out of an animal, or they can take the cells out of wheat, or whatever, because everything is relative. And they're finding out now that they can make the comparison, and even though you can't put human, you can't put beast blood into human veins, you'd kill them, but yet to work this thing out, you can in making this comparison, and they find out that they can inject one of those cells as to where there is a problem, like we would use the term mutilation, or muta, as they would say in here, as to that cell, and this cell, like even a wheat germ, or a wheat cell, put in there, it will relate to that and become like a tutor and correct all that disorder and make your little cells straighten up, do right, and all of a sudden you find your health back. See, and they're doing this, and they're also learning that in sheep, there are certain sheep that have human cells, whereas they say they mark these and put them aside because if they don't, people will be so after them because they're worth thousands and thousands of dollars, that they'll be so after them that they can't keep control of them or keep them safe. See, so not all those sheep have it, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing there of letting us know something there as to grace and about people who come in sheep clothing or sheep form. And they find out that these cells is the most compatible. Okay, now, when we say these things and we think about this, we don't have time to go into all these beautiful things. But when we say these things, we know then that they are gradually proving that man is beast. Though they don't think that. They think they've got some great discovery and they've entered into something when they cannot even get into the infinite. All they can do is just mess around with the defining of the finite. See, and they can't even get into the infinite. They just go through allegoric symbols, these kind of things. The veil. But I'm saying all this to say that when it comes to God, that's just a platform for us. All of this that they're learning, when they've learned all that they can learn, and they do all that they can do, all that they can do, all they did was just build a little structure of a platform for us to stand on before the rocket blasts off. And when we take off, as I say, going up, up, up into the celestial. As to, I brought it out a few days ago, we got to drop off one stage, then we got to drop off another stage. And then that one, two, three, we're right back to where we started. First power, second power, third power. See, before we accomplish our purpose, it's body, soul, and spirit. You got to drop off some things. And the first thing you do is drop off that old body. To consider yourself a wretch, stop loving its image and its face. It is a beast. It belongs to the human senses. It is the creature. It is the bond's child. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, all flesh is corrupted its way before God. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he said, "Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put it down. Let it decrease, that the inner man might increase." And on we go. As to Calvary, that on this side of the Calvary decreasing, that on this side of Calvary to increase is being spiritual. Well, the world doesn't go along with that. But that's what's happening. See, there's a Calvary, and the waters is separated from the waters as to the firmament called Calvary. In the beginning, he put a firmament. And the waters above the waters and the waters below the waters. And that firmament was Calvary. That's the blood. That was the act of God. And waters are people and symbols. John speaks of it in Revelation of the waters being people. See, and the beast coming out from among the waters as to this great headship of beast that will come up. Now, see, these waters are separated from waters. That means that the world are troubled waters. And David said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And Christ's people are still waters. He said, "Enter into my gates with thanksgiving. Come into my courts with praise." And he said, and be still and know that I'm God. And study to be quiet. So we know then that we're the still waters. We're not troubled waters. We're not troubled waters. The Bible said the wicked is like the troubled waters of the sea, ever casting the mire up. And they never have peace. They never have peace. See, like Satan that maketh the deep to boil like a pot. And that deep represents them. And in the day of the celestial, when the millennium is over, there won't be any sea. Because it will mean that there's been a firmament as from even the millennium to the celestial, like it will be from this world to the millennium. See, like there's three crosses there, and if you'll find your crossings always from one world to another, there they'll be. And you'll find Jesus out in the middle of it reigning right there in the millennium between this world and the celestial, there in the millennium, and his 12 apostles with him. See, so as to your crosses. So when we think of these things and we try to understand these things spiritually, I'm just taking my time so we can just get a few little things over. See, when we think of these things, then we know that there is a firmament between the people of the world, Calvary, the Jews represented over here, and the spiritual Jews represented on this side. See, and there is a firmament between the people, which are the people of the world, who have never been born again, making allowance for the elect that's mixed up among them to come in, who is by predestination as the foreknowledge. They will come in. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, as many as was ordained unto eternal life. When Paul preached, believe. The others did not. So making allowance for that, then we look out there and we know them that are in the world are nothing but mere beast, a molecular structure, just a cosmic quickening. That's all. Just the breath of life. That's all they have. You can knock the breath out of them, scare them, the heart stop. That's all there is to it. So then there's two powers on the inside, a power of life of Christ and a power of death of Satan, which are two angelic beings that are trying to seize upon your spirit, your angelic being, which is made strictly for your body and for the tangible forms of matter that's around you. All right, maybe we could get into that later and break some of that now. But I'm just simply saying that in this, then we realize the firmament is there, and those people are the troubled waters, for there is no peace to the wicked. And you are the still waters, and they can't get from there to where you're at, like the man that was in hell. See, they're already in hell. Those people are already in hell. They don't know it yet. But they're already in hell by the foreknowledge of God and by the works of Calvary. It just hasn't been revealed to them that Lucifer, Satan, darkness, intellectual ignorance, with all of their learning, that that's on the inside of them, the old tree of knowledge and death. See, that just hasn't been revealed yet. It's to be made manifest, to be seen. But it will be just as soon as the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. Which blood was put there from the foundation of the world when Jesus, as to the body of the Lamb, was slain from the foundation of the world in the foreknowledge of God, that that blood might be there over all humanity as it was made an expose at Calvary, that we might know that it's on all people and all their sins are taken away. And God is looking at them through the blood and he lets them get by with all of their lasciviousness as they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness by lavishly sporting their diamonds and their pearls. That's what lasciviousness is. Now, so then when we come to this, then we realize the firmament is there and there is a great gulf between them that are in hell. That'll be turned over to the tormentors just as quick as grace lifts, the love of God lifts, the light's gone, everything will be cold, dismal, and dark, and then it'll show up there just the molecular thing that the only life they had was reflection, and now they're none life but just existence. That's all. Like the DNA, they keep on. After a while, they're going to make a Frankenstein. They're going to come up with that can continue as a bodily structure, but not life. It'll be in existence. And even during the tribulation period, which is seemingly on us right now, next year could set in. See, and it could be it, the seven last years. See, and the church is already going out with the revelation. It's being drawn out of the body, out of the carnal mind. And that's the rapture. That's the translation, the revelation. See, Christ reveals himself to them. And then the darkness leaves as the intellectual diplomacies of life. And then they're going in a transitional change into another body, even the body of Jesus Christ, by the great phenomenal change of the supernatural that can't be seen. See, and in this, the translation is taking place just like you translate one language from one language to another. He's transformating our mind as to translating. He translated our spirit into his spirit as to Christ's spirit. Now he's gradually transformating our mind into his mind. Translation of spirit is new birth. You're sealed in by the Holy Spirit, one with his spirit. You can never sin anymore. You can never die. You're eternal. You're already a son of God in the little cocoon. You're just waiting for it to break now as to the rent veil of Calvary, that it will come to pass that you'll find out that it was you that he rent in twain and that he buried that natural bodily side of the old cocoon. He done away with it. The work was finished. The law was finished. Is that which he used to nail it together with, to mold it, describe it, to bring about the description as to human form, and to bring that thing into an image. He'll throw that away. See, and after a while, you leave that because there's a natural body, a spiritual body, a terrestrial and a celestial. That means earthly and heavenly. When we realize this, then we know that God has put the firmament out there to separate these waters and the great gulf, and the great gulf that is out there in between you and them is the old tree of knowledge, that darkness of Lucifer, that angel which is a fallen angel, a dark light that is reflected in the light withdrew from Adam as being his body, to be made his body. And in Adam all die, as to the first man Adam delivered to Calvary for our offenses, Jesus coming in the form of a servant, which ye are. See, and with this all die. And that great gulf is that bottomless pit of ever learning, never able to find a bottom, a coming to the knowledge of the truth. Science, falsely so-called. The angels that fell with him into this darkness because they only reflected him. Like I say, the moon and the stars as to rock and nickel, about third part of them, as we would say, they're going to fall from heaven because they belong to the earth. They climbed up like the old serpent into the upper lintel, as we say, through the grace of God. There is grace everywhere, and sins are taken away. And the natural people of the world are being blessed just like you are. And you can't tell the difference because They're intellectually reflecting this wonderful grace of this religious thing with their institutions of corruption and trying to manufacture religion by producing DDs as to doctors of divinity and all these kind of things, which is nothing but something vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. And the more you adorn the flesh and highly esteem it, the more it is abomination in the sight of God. See, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God, because Satan uses it, and Satan is an abomination to God. So then, when you get all these diplomacies, it just vainly puffs up the mind. Knowledge puffeth up. And then you just got a middle wall of partition between you and God. And when you get up here like an orator and all these kind of things, you're drawing everything to the flesh, and you're not drawing it to Christ on the inside. And it's not the administration of Christ. It's not Christ speaking. It's not spiritual. Not spiritual at all. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So then when we look at this thing through the eyes of God, we know then those fallen angels, they are bound in chains of darkness. Whereas the Bible says, and because they left their first estate as to what God had given them, to where they could reflect the light, then leaving this, they fell, and he bound them in chains of darkness, which means intellectual ignorance. And that's why the Bible says, Paul speaking of, on the inside of you, you are blinded by the ignorance which is within you, as to them like bats, as to heavenly, you know, as that is to this that can ascend or descend. See, and coming into this heavenly atmosphere where it's upon all people right now, till the blood lifts, and then out goes the red dragon, the blood life, can't come into the presence of God anymore. The atmosphere of heaven and healing and blessing and all these things that you're abiding in now, and your natural's gone. No more healing medicines. See, and no more godly understanding, and you're in intellectual darkness, and you're in pain and misery because of those demons and the judgments upon them that you've given your vesture and body to, becoming God's enemy by allowing them to come in, like Judas, being a devil because he allowed Lucifer to come in. See, and then you have to be punished by being cast into a lake of fire alive, that them demons that's imprisoned by that body might be tormented through the human senses the same way that they've aggravated Christ in his temple by him feeling our infirmities as they probed and done all these intellectual things as to the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, consuming these things and doing away with morals. And God said, I will destroy them to destroy the earth. All their intellectual brilliance and blowing up things and causing earthquakes and all these kind of things. See, and God brings the millennium to a full restoration. Once he does that, then he automatically changes it to the celestial of where it should have went with Adam, with the illumination, which was the tree of knowledge, instead of through Eve, back over here to this tree of knowledge of good and evil. So as I say, and when we relate again back to this thing, as to the sea boiling like a pot, the mass of people, them that's on the other side of that great gulf, in that great sea will turn, as we say, like filled with salt, as the Sodom and Gomorrah when the rain and the brimstone came down, turn into a lake of fire, a great bottomless pit. They can't find the bottom of it. See, a bottomless thing and a lake of fire. And hell will give up its dead, and the graves will give up its dead after the millennium. And they'll all come back to their bodies, and in as a body be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented. So then that means that great tormenting place is waiting, called the second death, which is really the only death, and that the separation from the body is just sleep. But separation is God, who is life, from the spirit is death. And see, those that are alive in sin and trespasses, God's spirit's already separated from their spirit, and they are dead while they live, and they're twice dead in that they're cut off as to coming to the truth. In our day is the blood on the seat of atonement. They know the grace of God, the illumination to give them a chance of light, understanding to move the veil. So they will know, and then they go away and they sell their birthright for their belly as Esau to a morsel of bread. And when they go away, they go back in darkness. The illumination is gone as to the rain and the sunlight on the just as on the tare and the wheat. See, and then go back, and then they're twice dead, because once you come to the knowledge of the truth, after that, if you don't accept it, then there's no more sacrifice for sin. The atonement is only the blood. That's all. You go your way, and that's the end of it. See, but we are born again, and we got life on the inside. We're not dead. We're not dead. So then it shall be cast, they shall be cast into the lake of fire. It's what you call the death of the spirit. The second death. Lazarus dead, I go to awake him, he sleeps. We who are supposed to be dead, if we have to die, they put us into a casket as human beings. Being Christians, we're not dead. The spirit just went back to God who gave it. That is, God is already interwoven with our spirit, and that spirit just goes right on back to God. The angels carried the spiritual Lazarus into the bosom of Abraham, that is in Abraham's spirit. Where his faith was, that was paradise. Because Abraham's body is also in the grave like Lazarus. The rich man, Satan, took his spirit into hell, the judgment that God had determined for Satan. For the Bible said when Satan interfered there in the garden because of what he did in interfering with God's great plan to make gods out of man, then in his anger, he created hell for the devil and his angels. And in that you give your body to Satan, then he confiscates, he takes your spirit, and he's got it in control to the lasciviousness of the world and the vain janglings of the vanity of lust and not love. We as unto love, but he as unto lust. Satan is the spirit of lust that desires the things of the world, which means desire but blown out of proportion. Whereas our desire is love. It's moderation. Now when Satan comes and seizes upon this thing, he interweaves himself with that intellectual darkness as to your ignorance. See, and all you ever learn in school and college is give me your paw and roll over being beast. And you're only kept alive by the breath of life as to the molecular structure. And that's why that Satan studies it and studies it and studies it to the world of chemistry and biology and all these other kind of things. Now see, and when we talk about this, we have to differentiate that that great gulf is there. And we're not part of them, and they're not part of us. Though they're reflecting heaven, and they're dwelling in heaven. Revelation 12, as to when Lucifer the worm climbed up in heaven, that is by the grace, as to the reflection. See, and built him a world, which is a heaven, as to all of these things of medical aid, and stole them from the children of God as to what they should be. But it's Esau's world. That's why it's corrupted. That's why it's boycotted. That's why it's so horrible. That's why it's so terrible. And that's why I come down on it when you think I'm a moron and that I'm ignorant and don't understand. When it's all together, you that think like that are just children. Some of you don't understand. See, you don't realize the detriment of Satan and what he's done and corrupted humanity and the way he's done it. Now, those things given is to the little children that they might learn to, they go this way and do those things until they can grow up to be able to control and have control of their body. So all these problems and sicknesses won't be there as to an eternal gift from God, from the life emanating from within him. So then we know that that lake of fire, when it comes to the celestial, there won't be any sea because that's what it represents. See, that's what it represents. And scientists can't understand like these earthquakes. We know that they're happening in the last days and they're predicted to happen in the last days simply because water, blood, and spirit represents the same thing. They represent three that bear witness, the water, the blood, the spirit. Now, see, in the earth, but when you say spirit, as in the earth, of water, blood, and energy, it's an energy, it's the life of man, the breath of life, as to an energetic that produces a spirit, like a little sperm in the egg, it produces a child, the breath of life, and after a while, there's something that happened, and it brings forth, just like you got water wiggle tails out here. And after a while, it will breed germs. And so then God has made it as to a breeding sort of thing, as to a germ of life. And then it gets contaminated and crossed up with a germ of death. I wish we had time to go into this morning because we're just barely scratching the surface of what I'd like to say. But anyway, so they don't know that when the end of the world comes, it means that God has to withdraw the water. See, because in the rapture of the church, we are as waters, the still waters, which means looking beyond the banks of the river, which is that body that's made out of dirt, out of dust, and looking inside as to the Spirit, it's a flow of one thing with all they that are baptized into Christ in one Spirit. They that are joined together as man and wife, one body, one flesh. So see, the water's on the inside. And we call this in the Old Testament, it's to the types and shadows. He called it the waters of separation. And they went through their practices in the Old Testament as the symbolics. It was the come, Jesus said, speaking of me. Now, see, and those kind of things back there is to the waters of separation, the dove, the sprinkling of the blood, and the red heifer. These, I wish we had time to go into it. And so when we're baptized for the dead, we put on Christ. We come up the body of the Lord Jesus. Delivered for our offenses, we're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. Raised again for our justification, we're resurrected into a new form of life. We're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Now, by the waters of separation, we're no more. We've come across the great gulf and the world of separation as to death. The sea, the barrel, like as to Satan's. Now, children, we realized that we'd have to go into a lot of things to bring out the spiritual significance of it. But as the waters withdraw, then all of a sudden the earth, it isn't locked together anymore. Because like Jesus said in building the temple, daubed, the prophet said, with untempered mortar. But we are bonded together with the wonderful mortar of the love of God, not lust, untempered. See all that as a man and a wife, all these marriages, all of these divorces, it's lust. Painting up, smelling good, lipstick, and passions, the bodies, just the devil savoring the things that be of the flesh. You can't stay away from passion. Eat it, drink it, smell it. Dogs, you know, billboards, magazines, television, making it look like heaven because it is a reflection of what you children of God really are in this wonderful thing where the Bible said God beautifies the meek with salvation. And all of that they do is like the embalmer. When he pulls all the blood out, that's life. And that's typical. And when that life is gone, he has to make you, for your loved ones, look lifelike again. See, because you look like a gold, they call it. You look like a ghost. Your ghost will look and you're white. No life in you. All of the life is gone. That oxygen is not there. And that blood to captivate, you don't have that red like as that compound, the affinity that gives you that spark of life. And so they paint your lips and they rub rouge into you. And then they put a bunch of flowers around. They inject the embalming fluid into you so that you won't smell bad when your loved ones come. And they put you on display. And then they put all the flowers around that you know and encourage people to see them, send them to you. And you think it's so wonderful, the beautiful flowers you know. And this is in memory and coming from people and whatever it is. But see, what you don't know is that the funeral home has to kill the smell of the embalming fluid and all these kind of things. See, and it's there, and it's laying in a perfect lying in state, they say, and it's in rest, and it symbolizes paradise and a beautiful garden, all these kind of things. But really, it's all fictitious. It's all fictitious. And my, what we could say even as of yesterday, some revelation that came forth concerning right over where I laid the cornerstone. But all this is fictitious, but it is symbolic. See, and the fluid that replaces the blood, then that fluid represents the Spirit because it preserves, blood corrupts, but it preserves. See, the fluid preserves, and when it preserves, that body can be intact for many years to give you symbolics that if they take it up, it's still intact. Now, somebody said, well, you know, lost your congregation, Brother Pike. My, we were just going along with this revelation. Right? You just killed us all at one time. And we find out we've got to die. How many of you know you're on death row? Now, I won't get to preaching here. I'm going to let you go before I get to preaching. But how many know that you're on death row? Everyone's waiting for his turn. waiting for his turn. Sure, that's right. See, and it's going to be just like that molecular structure. Is that sun and the emanating electrical force, it's going to come just like they buckled you in the electric chair. It's going to, just like that. See, it's coming. Now, it's coming. But the thing is, I'm not preaching death to you. I'm preaching life to you. I am preaching to you life. Am I? What we could go into here. So the waters is coming out of the ground, as we say, and everything is falling apart. Everything is falling apart. The world is falling apart. Their intellectual ability won't bind them together. They say a diplomacy, I'm your fella. And we'll bunch up here and we'll bunch up there. And then the little bunches separate into bunches. And then the individuals into individuals. And when he comes right down to it, you find out everyone of all races is an individual thing. They're individualistic. See, and they are at their own, they have their own mind. It's a devil and a demon within them. Intellectually, the old tree of knowledge. And they're after their own thing. And they can be with you in the church and be a believer and reflect this. And just as individualistic, they'll be putting their money on their house, on their properties, on their car, in their bellies, to their friends, to their loved ones, therefore, and no more. And they'll be going on and they'll drop the pennies in a little bit over here and a little bit. And every now and then they'll give you just a little bit extra to make you think they're really doing something. When they're doing nothing, their mind is on the world. All that's in the world, their drive, their hope, their motivation, everything is toward the little clay pitcher that needs to be broke as in the days of Gideon to bring out the light. Well, anyway, I'm just saying these few little things. So we got a world of human chemistry is to the second level. Water, first power. Blood, second power. And then the third power is angelic. And the lifeline of the world of angels, as to the angelic, is spirit. So water, blood, and spirit for three different worlds. See, and with this, that middle realm is where the problem is, because that's the blood realm, the soul realm, the body realm, and the dispute is over the body. Over the body. Now, tonight, I might be able to bring out a few little things. I don't know. Anyway, we kind of laid a formula down, a little pattern down here for the three worlds. Remember, Peter said in the first world is gone, and it passed away with water. The second world now, he said, is gone, because ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. In his day, it passed away with blood, and there's been a great siege of blood across the world as to the human physics. Now, the third world Peter spoke of, and it shall pass away with great fire. See, spiritual burning. God is a consuming fire. The great light first shall come and destroy the image of perdition. And I will destroy him, he that sitteth in the temple of God. That is Satan that got into the body that was made for God's temple. I will destroy that intellectual spirit of ignorance that says he is brilliance within the human body. My light of revelating and understanding will dispel the darkness, and that knowledge of thoughts, of intellect will go, and we'll look into place and there'll be a great light of understanding, which is a tree of life, the thing that Adam lost in the fall, the illumination. It's within us to be revealed in us to dispel these thoughts. And finally, we'll keep on till we won't have one thought left. For he said, lean not to thine own understanding, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. The splitting of the atoms. The two atoms at Calvary linked together, Adam and Eve. It was Eve, it was Adam. Split them, divided, put the man over here, the woman over here. And the two atoms, because the woman showed the body. See, and then splitting, the rending of the veil. And so we split the little atoms as to the minute, because it has great significance as to the splitting of you through the dividing of the sun, because you as the butterfly, as to that nature of Christ, being partakers of the divine nature to form an image, and that's what the nature does. See, the form and image, that nature has to be released from the perverted cocoon of the old body of the nature of the devil, within the cocoon or the flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. So he had to rend it in twain there. After it finishes its work in subjecting the inner light to the outer darkness through human senses, that God, who is a light and a great potentiality, a reservoir of life, to come forth to take on a form and an image to be made manifest or to become existent, and that you can't see life, that he might have a family and family ties, and to be able to see himself as life projecting in himself and all the flowers, the birds, whatever, female and male, children, man, woman. See, in doing this through the intellectual darkness, he had to go that route, which we are not going to try to get into this morning. Spoke a little sporadically about this before. But anyway, with this, see, it had to come in the cocoon, the mole opened at Calvary, and then the beginning of the creation of God, the inner light that departed from Adam, now steps out in the fullness that had come back in the bodily form that was like you, made like unto a servant. The body of Jesus rent the veil, opened the mole. Out he steps, the personification of the great mighty Holy Ghost, which means the Spirit of Christ, God now in a human form, ghost. And now in measure coming into you, that you might be molded, your spirit one with his, that you might become a ghost, even one as the Holy Ghost with your spirit. Father, make these one, even as his spirit became one with God's spirit, and then no more for the body. So we ride over the tribulation period with the translation of the coming great light, that this light that we speak of that's destroying the intellectual, seeing taking the darkness out of that ignorance within you, the blindness. So then, by means of Calvary, the rent veil. So we ride over that to come back in the millennium like the angels with our bodies celestial. And we're a spiritual being, the spiritual body. And the Jews go terrestrially right on in. The curse is lifted. All of the things are restored back to the garden. But when the celestial comes, that's our world. See, in the Jews for 1,000 years, and then the body, which is the Jews, is joined to the spiritual Jew, and it's changed into a great celestial. So we go away with the great light, the sun, sevenfold, like that. The veil is rent as to the intellectual, the atoms is split as to the thought. The nucleus of the power of the little packets of light present themselves, and there we are, the great masterpiece unveiled of God. Well, anyway, it's hurrying along and saying so many things, but this is what the translation is, and this is what the rapture is, and this is that light. And remember, Satan, the war in heaven, he's also a light. Angels are lights on the hillside, and the angel came, and when he came, it shined round about the shepherds. And the Bible said when that great angel came down from heaven, the book of Revelation, he lightened all the earth. Light means understanding, a knowledge. And Satan is a light, a knowledge. He's a reflection of God's light because of the blood on the seat of atonement from the beginning of the world. God allowed that for his program, for his work. Jesus said, and I saw him fall from heaven as lightning. See, the battle in heaven, the war in heaven, the thunders, these kind of things that we'd like to get into. Revelation 12, Michael and his angels fighting Satan, and them fighting as that child. See, as the child comes, well, like right now, we could go into that as to the fight right now as the Star War and of Clinton and all this thing that's warring now in these two minds, because the war is over the body. See, which is the woman, is to say two males. But anyway, over the body is to say spiritual males of God, Christ, an angel, of Satan, an angel. Anyway, he said he saw this light fall from heaven like that. As lightning I saw him, a streak of light. And that's how Benjamin Franklin, that's how they came to the kite, the cross, the key, the string, all things of significance. Nothing without significance. All heavenly things, spiritual things understood by earthly. And so that's why this is called a new world as a type. And that's why the lightning came as to electricity. And that's why it's in the world. And that's why you live off the electricity. And you stole whole house electric, we say. All the heat, all of the fans, all of the cooling, all these things, and your body being nothing but that electricity. As to the electrical and the nature of Lucifer allowed as that fallen angel to confiscate, to take that body, as to the thing that happened in the garden, seeking to make himself a body. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. See, and John said, and Cain was of the wicked one. And we're going to get into that. Maybe tonight we talk a little about it. See, and so this world is that light. That's light. And you're combustible. They've been known to be standing waiting for a trolley. All of a sudden, they flame up. The bomb dropped in Hiroshima. They became walking torches. See, as to the atomic particles, the heavens being on fire. Peter said the elements being on fire, of which you are composed, as to chemistry, the chemical or elements. See, and so I said all that to say this, in that he is the God of this world. He is the God. He is the light. He is the mind. Everything emanates from him as to lust of the flesh. And all the world is the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. And through the human senses and savoring the things that be of the world. And your life as to light. I say this again. You cannot see. You cannot see because bats cannot see. I remind you of this again. They said, Paul has come here. He's turned the world upside down. But I told you it was already tilted because of sin, the allegory. And all Paul did was turn it right side up. But because they are upside down, bats hang by the tail, and they're upside down. And so to them, the world is right side up. When they're stable, that's their dwelling. See, and they dwell in darkness. They can't tell anything. So they wouldn't know what was right side up or right side down there or upside down because they're blind. So they are blind. Jesus said, leave those Pharisees and scribes alone. Intellectuals, he said, they're bats. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Bats don't have any eyes. Einstein, those great scholars, those great men, they don't have any sight. They cannot see. That's why there's blind people in the world today. There has to be blind people, hungry people, all these afflicted people to show spiritual conditions that are in the spiritual world. All these things are spiritual conditions. Everything in the natural, it relates to a spiritual condition. See, that's in the world that's beneath the veil. And it all has to be unveiled as to good or bad. Like the DNA, like I said, making the Frankensteins, they're going to make it. This little cell, and prove that they're relative one to another. And then, the first thing you know, they'll bring forth this monster that the Bible speaks of in Revelation, that the dragon could give him life to speak and to do these things, because that's what man will be. And he'll head up in the beast. And the beast is nothing but them that are without, on the other side of that great gulf. See, and it'll head up in them. There'll be a molecular structure. They'll just be a beast. They'll just be a monster. They'll just be motivated by the like the picture Frankenstein years ago, where with all these kind of things, with Frankenstein, a genius that went crazy, made a huge stature, you know, a huge man motion, and you know, now he's become a friend, you know, on the cornflakes, boxes, whatever. He's a friend to the children of the world. See, that is, they're blinded, and all these things are allegoric, and they're speaking loud and clear to us. The heaven declares handiwork. The earth is full of his knowledge. To be spiritual, the spirit of revelation, to unveil Christ tutoring from within, bringing all things to our remembrance. See, and they're going to raise up that Frankenstein, and he's going to come with a 666, that head. He's coming. That was the thing that was notable about Frankenstein. He's going to come as that beast. And all the weird things that you've seen in all these movies and shows and television, these things that thrill you, that's eerie, you say. See, you've got a love and a desire for that kind of quickening, that kind of stimulation, because you're of the devil, and you're full of the devil, and that nature of the devil draws that excitement. See, and then to get out here in the world and bubble in the beer, and I could go on and go and get into preaching. But anyway, that's for the people out there to preach to bring the elect out, because you're all thinking alike out there. Now, while the grace is here, God's calling them, the days of evangelism. So I'm just saying to you that lightning, this light, is just Satan working in the geniusy of Einstein, the same as saying Frankenstein. See, and it is working like that because it is building the monster. And he's doing all that, and God's letting him do all that. And to you that are like that, you're of the devil. See, and you are a cosmic quickening of that electrical force by that light which is only symbolic of God, the great light, as to the true quickening of the new blood cell that was in Mary that brought forth the beginning of the creation of God, in that Adam was the beginning of that thing of Lucifer as to the fall. And in Adam all die, and Christ all live, sin in Adam unto death, life, righteousness in Christ Jesus
unto life, even eternal life. Well, anyway, just think these things over, ponder over them, and the Lord, He'll quicken these things to you and let you know why you got this great world of America, this great world of light, when it was so dim on the other side, the candle lights, and why He went through all these transformations as to one, two, three worlds, as to say Israel and by the way of Rome civilization, and then over here to America, great empires. And my, we could go for hours and days like the Lord talking to Moses, 80 long days. Paul, all of his study and still talking to him for over 3 years. See, but we spend all our time trying to understand the molecular structure as to the badge, you know, the gun, and you do it, you put that kid there, the devil says, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him as soon as he's born. That old red dragon is the blood life in heaven as to the grace of God that's over us right now. This second heaven, and he's waiting there to grab him for the ball playing and to make him power of legislation or bring him into the ecclesia or whatever. And he's waiting to devour that child. See, but there's a war going on. Continual warfare between the body and the spirit. And on we could go in detail things that would take hours and hours. But it's so beautiful in heaven, like I said. And I was always looking at all those things in heaven, which is spirit. Through the eyes of Christ, the mind of Christ, your eyes of understanding. And then I suddenly look back at the great mass of the earth. And I said, don't you see those things in heaven? And they just looked at me like that. And I turned back around. I was so fascinated. And as I turned to look again, and something struck me, I thought, wait a minute, they're not looking. They don't see that. And I turned back and looked again, and I said, you know, don't you see these things in heaven? And I realized they were looking at me. See, was looking at me. Like even a vision I had, when I saw the vision, I was suspended between heaven and earth, and I had my hands out, and I said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, and you'll find rest to yourself. See, and like the whirlwind, when I saw the whirlwind, like as the Enoch translated, and of course we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom, the kingdom since Calvary. Like that, the whirlwind come, caught Enoch up, and I saw the whirlwind, and it caught me up, and it picked me up, and took me way up into the heaven. And I was waving goodbye like that to my loved ones. See, you got to realize the translation is taking place. You got to realize you're dealing with the inner man, and you got to differentiate properly. Because there's a whirlwind. There's something going on. Two in the field, one taken and one left. Two at the middle grinding, one taken and one left. Two in the bed, one taken and one left. Speaking of the inner man, I'll steal away the bride. I'll come as a thief in the night of your intellectual darkness. I'll take that child. I'll take that inner man, translate him into the marvelous kingdom of God. I'll do this, the translation, the Word, Christ, the Spirit, the revelation. See, I'll come. The world won't see it. I'll return the second time to them that look for me. You're not outer man, you're inner man. The outer man is dead but Calvary. And I dwell in heaven and you dwell in heaven. He's chosen us out of the world, translated us, raptured us out, put us in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, you that dwell in heaven. See, and when we understand this, then we're not molecular as to the electrical forces. We're not given to that. That body's dead. We're free from that. See, and now we went away with God. The angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. So then we have been translated out and we have been cut out since Calvary, the new verse. This is our generation. This is our hour. This is our time. And we're going on with the revelation to produce a completion of the mind to the diplomacy of the change, the graduation to become the professionals of the world, the elite with all the money. That is to say, symbolic of the children of God. The last being first and the first being last. That Esau diplomacy is down, Satan cast out. They've taken it over. And us coming up, up, up into the great wonderfulness of God, climbing up in their intellectual nest among the stars, casting them out. So I'm closing right here and saying this, and I appreciate your kind patience with me to get this on tape. But they didn't see these things in heaven. They didn't see them. See, the translation is taking place. The world don't see it. The denominations, even down to Pentecost, ball games, movies, going, wanting their people to be something out in the flesh. Preachers, women preachers, men preachers, little kid preachers, all kind of things out there. And they're out there, and we're told to begin with, he that is a preacher cannot be a novice. lest being lifted up in pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil, finding his deities and all these kind of things. See, and they're out there doing their little thing, playing a religious game in reflection, but God allows them to catch the attention of the strays that he might pull them in, like raising chickens as a little chick, hatch them up, and then a little broiler, and then a fry, and then a hen, right on in, processing them right on in, then all that will be gone like the cocoon. See, so that's what the world is for out there. It's just to keep everything turning. So there'll be a world, a time for multiplication. You come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things. I will receive you, saith the Lord. All that's dirty, all that's beast, all that's corruption. And they get a reward. And the reward of sin, corruption. And they get a reward. And they eat the husk. They feel their bellies. They're on their bellies. And the beasts get the husk while we get the grain. Because that's the reward of their labor to keep the world going as to God paying them. And they get a span of life as to this day of grace. Well, anyway, let's stand together. Ye are gods. You're not a molecular structure. You're not a quickening. It's a cosmic quickening. You are an eternal quickening of that quickening spirit. Ye are gods. You're eternal. You've been born again. We're dealing with the inner man. This little house we're living in, Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle of the first man, Adam, I want to stir up your pure mind, Christ mind. Because he said, God has shown me shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle. But this is the tabernacle in the wilderness of the intellectual wandering, and if it, this one be put off, as to where the serpents is and the Canaan, I'll go. I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. The spiritual body, the second man, Adam, the quickening spirit. My spirit is transferred as to the waters of separation by the washing of regeneration from the generation of Adam over to the generation of the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ. See, and with this and these things in the spirit to be revealed only to the elect, only to you that are heavenly creatures. Others will never see these things. Though they hear them in words, as the words of revelation, it'll still be a reflection. Because that's still just that channel. That atom has to be split. That still, that darkness, knowledge, tree of knowledge, the veil over their minds as to the light, understanding, the tree of life. See, it has to be rent. And like Rebecca going into the tent of Isaac. See, taking away the veil, the shamefacedness, things like we've said to my wife and a few things. I wish we had time to go into these things. Thousands of things, because great is the mystery of Godliness. The revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to Paul for the church, and now the time of the veil has to be rent to know that it was Christ and not Paul. And of course, here it is. Now, and if that's the translation all down through the church ages as to that message, the mystery unveiled, which means the unveiling of you as Christ from you to make you know that you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in flesh, which is a God, members in particular. And you own all things. And the rest of these people with their diplomacies is nothing but squatters. And they, the old tree of knowledge that Satan has seized upon the body, the things of God, which is but vanity is to reflection. And it must pass away. And you must wake up out of this nightmare. Or as to some of you, it would be a dream. See, as to reality. Think it over. And we'll say a few more things some other time. But let's sing a little chorus together. You got to get out of the diapers. And you got to make that change from the bottle. As to the milk of the words. And you got to get over on meat. The meat is for the strong. Let there be meat in the house of God. And the meat is for the strong. And for them who have, by reasoning as to this war, their thoughts being the means, accusing or excusing one another as to the fulfillment of the great laws, to the righteousness of God. See, you got to get away from that, that molecular structure, to this wonderful Christ life. Outer man, molecular structure, quickening inner man, Christ from heaven, the light inwardly, not as Adam, the illumination is the light out there, Satan. But as inwardly to your inner man, see, as to the quickening of eternal life sealed in to where sin can't come and darkness can't get near light. Can't sin pass from death unto life. See, you got to get away from that. The veil's rent in twain, and he's folded you up and led you away as to the law. Dead to the law, you can't transgress the law. So we're dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus. No, we could go. But you need to get off of the bottle. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil, this is where it's all at. The meat is for the strong. They're the strong, eternally, spiritually strong. So when you intellectually even hear my words, which are words of revelation and not me speaking but Christ, see, Christ the great light, the detriment of humanity, even as the church is this. Christ the great light, understanding, issues forth, but he has to do it through instrumentality, just like life. Through the stem to the matrix, the vagina. See, that means that life has to come through the serpent as the symbolic. You understand? The rent veil. Speaking of the stem and the matrix. See, and when it comes to, speaking of the beast side of it, Libya says to a woman. See, but when it comes to this, it is only symbolic that God, the great light, life, the reservoir of life, it has to come into our heart. The impregnation here, the conception here. See, and there's two parts to the heart, just like the matrix. See, and with, we said, broke my heart, he rent my heart in two. See, and with this, there's death on one side, that blue blood, no oxygen, which means the law and death. On the other side, has to do with the oxygen and has to do with the life. Now, twins. Maybe speak about it tonight, about the blood. I want to talk about the blood. Maybe tonight. See, because the life's in the blood. Now, getting down to the minute. So when this blue blood is there, it's dead. The blue baby. Not the red baby. The blue baby. See, life, the breath of life into the red baby. Not the blue baby. Because your breath of life natural is only symbolic of the breath of Jesus that really brought life through the blood as to the red. And on we could go. So let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. Wouldn't you like to live forever? Wouldn't you like to live forever? Do you want to stay on the wrong side of that great gulf? Or would you like to be over here in paradise? Do you just want to be a Frankenstein or a monster? For I've anchored. Would you like just to be a Frankenstein, a beast, a monster? Give yourself to the flesh. Satan saveth the thing that be of the flesh. Go on with your intellectual and strike at the word of God in your ignorance. Strike at the minister. Cut yourself off by your intellectual wall, middle wall of partition. Like the R.S. and the Jim Jones and all these kind of things. Go on, vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, having lust in your members and can't stand the idea of getting older and dying when it's all the process of God to draw life out of the body to get it away from the parasites of those things that are getting it from the apple and the peaches. It's so ripe and it's full blossom to show life. See, to get it into the stone, to seal it up as to the seed, to where they can't get to it, that when the old withering is gone, there the seed comes forth, a beautiful life. No parasites, winter killed them out. Springtime, like the song we wrote, a time and a season for every reason. And there is a reason why the snowflakes fall. And there's a reason why the robin sings. A reason why winter calls, and there's a reason why God sends the spring. Anyway, if you'd like to have eternal life, let whosoever will come to the waters of life. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. All rest, the altars are open. Sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest did may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus, folks, we're saved evermore. I need thee, Lord. We need thee every hour. We need thee, and we need thee now, precious Savior. Need him to change us from Malacca to the real. Need you to put us through the change, Heavenly Father. But see, it's really a spiritual change, and you're translated into the kingdom. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Come back to your hearts once again. Do you want the Prince of Life? Let him in to stay. He's come back. Shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let him come into your heart. I stand at the heart's door and I knock. And whosoever will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him. And in the Songs of Solomon, Solomon said, and he was in the night, out in the night, and the dewdrops was in his locks, and he stood at the door, and his hands dropped, that mirror dropped from his hands, and like honey drops with the dewdrops in his night, and he was knocking, saying, my beloved, will you open unto me? And then Solomon waxed bold and he said, and then I heard the voice of the turtle in the land, springtime, and I saw the poppies putting forth their face. And as the voice of the turtle called to its turtle mate as to the love of the turtle dove, then the little poppies began to put forth. Like that. See, that's why that you see, when you go out to men's graves that died as great men in the war, they take the little poppies. It indicates resurrection. And there it was, resurrection. Springtime, resurrection. Like Susie sings a song, I'll be back again. And I will return the second time to them. With sin and without sin unto salvation. If they look for me through the eyes of understanding, the world shall not see me. So it's not the coming in the heavens when all eyes shall see him. The world shall not see me, but you shall see me. And then he said, I and my Father will come and we'll make our abode with you, because he and his Father are one out of the body. And in your spirit, you're one with him, and we shall be in you. See, and folks, he's kept his word. He's kept his word. Things are happening. So don't turn him away. Sing that song. So don't. For your problem is, my problem is, we know each other after the flesh. And the Lord said, don't do that. were dead by the body of the Lord Jesus to the flesh, free from the law of sin and corruption, that sin should no longer work. The law should no longer work. Sin is the emotions of sin within us. See, we're the temples of the living God. Something's on the inside. According to your measure, according to every man's measure, there's something on the inside. The world doesn't see him. See, and the turtle dove is calling to its mate. Brilliance is in the way. Human reason is in the way. Every thought is to be eradicated. As to the light dispelling the darkness, so then it's in his name as to remission of sin. Baptized for the dead, leaving the first man behind. Resurrected, the quickening spirit. Let's sing this little chorus. Tell me his name. Talking about the Prince of Peace now. Sing me that sweet refrain. The Prince of Life. Of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. For the story my heart it is stirred. It's the sweetest that I bandages fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name. Sing it with me, can you? Oh, tell me his name once again. Sing me the sweet refrain of my Savior in love, who came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. Bandages fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? I will praise him. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Know how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, the ground and the pillar of the truth. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Let your delight be in the laws of the Lord, and in his laws meditate day and night. Every thought into subjection. Don't lean to your own understanding to reason and judge the preacher. You are in the bond of iniquity. You are in the gold of bitterness. Your thoughts, your heart is not right with God. You don't even have a right to think, let alone to judge. You can't even judge till you come into this light. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Because they have light, revelational understanding. You cannot judge with natural intellect. Your evaluation is improper. You don't have any part or lot in the matter. Hold your peace.
Give them glory. Oh, ye peace.
I wonder if Brother Richard, the two, would come up and dismiss.
For his blood that's washed away.
One more time together.
Salvation.